Greetings to you in Jesus' name. Since we're unable to have service this morning at Trinity and Concordia Lutheran Churches, it's important for us to still consider the first Sunday of Christmas. The text we would have had today is from Isaiah chapter 61, beginning at verse 10 to 62, ending at verse 3. The epistle reading from Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7, and finally Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Let us pray before we hear our sermon today, the collect for the first Sunday of Christmas. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace be unto you from God our Father, who has given us his Son, Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, as with last Sunday being Christmas Eve, so this Sunday sets us upon the eve, as we know, of a whole new year. Plenty love to celebrate how we move from 2017 now into 2018. Of course, eyes watching that transition of time fall across the planet also demands concerns for safety. This is especially true, for instance, with Las Vegas, that only 3 months ago had a massive shooting. Such concerns over New Year's celebration has led to requesting state funds triple the amount of last year, doubling the amount of law enforcement, and doubling the number of quick response teams just in that city. You cannot get around the fact how we live in times of heightened security. Yet if dealing with dangers to life is the priority, when we look at the evil, for instance, the darkness, which certainly is there, how easy, though, is it to miss seeing what is good? When Joseph and Mary went to the temple, it was to follow the law's demands of purification for both Mary and her firstborn male child. No one would have seen such actions unusual for any Jewish family. The religious leaders would have ignored such a menial task, you see, because it was just something you did at the temple. Likewise, Herod was surely busy managing his affairs before Roman law. Only Simeon and Anna were present to celebrate the ultimate good that stands against all darkness, just like those shepherds did when Jesus was born. The desire of God, you see, is for all generations to endure the times by faith and the peace given alone to us by Jesus Christ. Now, humanity, we must recognize, faces division whether we like it or not, and we can simply see this by being from different generations of times and space. We see that with older versus young. Simeon and Anna exemplified, for instance, the past. Who knows how old Simeon actually was, and if he even had a wife and kids? Who knows how God would have had him die? What we do know is that the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. In the midst of all the things he had seen, all the hardships that Israel had went through, God would open to Simeon the comfort that only would be not just for him, but for all people that had come. And likewise, Anna, when you consider it, was different from Simeon. She had seen death as a young woman and the loss of her husband, now an older woman of many years. Her hope was beyond those little cliches of, oh, I'm praying for you, or it's going to get better. She knew that this was not in the hands of man, for who could raise the dead? She wanted her husband back. Or who could undo the damage of death left? Because being a widow at that time meant she would probably be in much distress. And who knows if she even had kids to help her out. Redemption for Jerusalem is what she was looking for. Redemption from slavery. Redemption, finally, from the spiritual death that all people suffer because of lack of faith in God. And so we look also at Mary and Joseph, who were the parents at the present time. They were keeping the Torah, or of the law, just like any good parents want to raise up good kids, which purification at the temple recalled God's claim upon the firstborn male children of the Jews. Because this reminds us of the angel of death that went over during Passover time long ago out of the Exodus of Egypt. And so that same claim still stood for any firstborn male child, even for Jesus. Unfortunately, this family was of a low standing, though, too, compared to others, considering what they provided for sacrifice. It was almost kind of shameful, you see. The God of all who comes in the flesh, the Son of the Father, indeed has a family who can barely pay for the bills. Pigeons. Not a ram. Not a lamb. Not some great sacrifice. Just enough. But of course, God sees it through to the end, doesn't he? Because we know the perfect sacrifice would be this child. Mary received the attention by Simeon also, not Joseph. And this, of course, would hurt the man. Because he surely reminded him constantly that he wasn't the father of this child. He was the adopted guardian of this one born of the Virgin. And lastly, like any mother, Mary felt that bitterness, having heard, pretty frankly, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul." That sword, of course, was the prophetic word. The word that proclaimed not only the conception of the Christ child, but also the coming for a purpose, and that purpose was to die. Mary would have to see her own flesh crucified, but this would be indeed something larger than just losing her child, but what God would indeed give as life to the world for sinners. And lastly, we see the infant Jesus stood out for what was the future. God becoming man as a child tells us, pretty much, frankly, that children are precious to him, no questions about it. Since all are born under the sin, all under the law, so all need redemption. Unlike Jesus, children of humanity are not born sinless, as Job reminds us, who is born of a woman, that he can be righteous. To be present before the Lord is important, because a child is easy prey, as we know, for the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion, and indeed it's always the weak that the lions love to devour in that herd, and the children are in his sights. Children need the other generations, you see. And this is why, like a book of Kings, for instance, in the Old Testament, always warns repeatedly that when you make the transition from one generation to the next, from one king to the next king, it says, "He walked in all the sins that his father did before him, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God." And so we see the great, indeed, divide that is amongst the generations of man from the past, present, and the future. But the presence of Jesus pours out what every generation needs from God. To the older generations, there are good tidings of great joy given to you in Christ. Simeon could sing, and so can you. And we do it every Sunday, don't we, when we have the Lord's Supper. We sing against death, and however it may be. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." See, Mary said those words too, didn't she? But that is because she was receiving life of the Christ child in her womb. Simeon was receiving the Christ child as life for him who only saw death. What the Father's sent by his Son, what God has done is comfort for all nations under the darkness, the canopy of death. Because this peace on earth is fixed upon Christ against the power of death. For those who have seen great loss also with age. Like Anna, this Christ child comes to set the prisoners free from such grief over life. This means looking forward to Jesus because he has promised, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." What good news, what comfort, what joy to know that life has not been spent. We look to the life of the world to come. And to working generations, to those in my group, to those in their 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60s, especially you parents, marvel at what God's will is for you in Christ. Since Jesus is the perfect sacrifice to the law, God's claim upon our families is purity of sins forgiven by His grace. We're not going to purge it all out, you see. We can work as hard as we can, and we should strive for the good, but the evil is close at hand. And also, rather than the status, consider the riches of life secured for family in Christ, which Simeon and Anna praise as the most precious treasure. This is what the older people finally are to tell us and remind us continually about, is that Christ, indeed, will keep us in the straight and narrow, not our status, because statuses will change. Statuses, indeed, will not see you through to the end, but Jesus will. Since God's will is always about salvation, we rise or fall based upon our reaction to Christ in our lives, just as Joseph had to believe. And so we need to believe that this Jesus who comes by His word wishes to bring us good tidings of great joy that indeed is for our generations that work and strive under the law. We need to look for something more glorious that comes from His love and truth that abides in His word. In the same way, Mary's child is already marked with that sign opposed to the way of man. The way of man, because this is Christ who glorifies the cross as His way of peace. And this is the hardest part, you see, because works do great things. Works do help and prevent death. But the suffering of life, the bearing the cross, just like Mary did, had to indeed trust that God's way of peace is through suffering. Works will not save, but faith in this one who suffered for us will. Bearing crosses is a glorious thing, a witness to the one who has bore all things for us and will keep us safe. And so parents will not save their children, and neither will money, power, or anything else but Christ alone, who will keep us safe and indeed see us through our works to the comfort that He alone has worked all for us. And finally, to the younger generations, grow and become strong in wisdom with God's favor upon you in Christ. God creates life, and the mission of Jesus is to save the least, saying, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them." Age does not matter, you see, because sinners just need Jesus, who says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Rather than pray for the devil, Christ's presence by word and sacrament brightens future generations with the light of God. This is what we must consider today. Children and young adults, our need to indeed take the time to know that Christ is for you and how He comes, and that patience needed through what He brings. What children need are thoughts, words, and deeds, then, set upon Christ, proving He is the peace for all generations. And that peace is what penetrates not just our service when we come together for a short hour, but in our very lives, in our families, in our work. It all becomes something for us out of the joy of Christ, who the crucified one. And that young people might see something more than what this life can bring for them, but a future planned out by the faithfulness of God, who has fought all good things by His perfect death, in His perfect life, in His perfect way, that provides what we cannot indeed do by our works, but by faith in Him and His faithful word that will see us through to the end for all time. As time counts down tonight, there will be plenty of looking back on 2017, right? We always see that on the TV. There is lots to consider of what will come of 2018. Some, as usual, want to deny the times. Others, likewise, will get caught up in the times. And still others will not know what to do with the times. Yet when it was time for Jesus to come to the temple, Simeon and Anna saw what God promised for all time: our security and celebrating is more than what time brings together one night a year, which is always a fun thing to do if you can do it and stay up long enough. Instead, though, the fullness of time has come from God. This is a fullness so that faith worked by the Holy Spirit is able to see Jesus. The desire of God is for all generations to endure the times by faith and the peace given to us, provided for all in Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ that passes all understanding be with your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. For he is the faithful one who comes to us, abides with us, and indeed brings to us all good for all times. Amen.